kids, you're never too old to learn. We both learn from each other. We need to be careful about what we share with people. You might want to consider being mentored by somebody else.
Mentors are an important part of our lives. We learn a lot from them. But what if your mentor starts teaching you things that could actually pull you away from the truth? Stay with us. Hey guys, welcome to this week's Grace and Truth. I'm a grateful, gospel-centered disciple of Jesus Christ who struggles yet perseveres, and my name is Dave. Hope and pray that you're doing well. Today's podcast, entitled, Who Are You Listening To?, was broadcasted live on Facebook on April 16th, 2020. The text for this message is 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 through chapter 2, verse 22.
I'd like to start with a question. Who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? I mean, I know there are a lot of us who listen to a lot of people. I mean, I listen to a lot of theologians and pastors, for crying out loud. Why do I do that? Because sometimes a pastor could say something that may not necessarily be in line with what Scripture teaches. And that's why we have the Word of God. I've already used my illustration on pastors and small claims court and the Bible and binding arbitration over these past few years. So now I'd like to explain a little bit further about why it's important for us to do that, not only with our pastors, but also with people in our lives who are outside of our age range, who are, for example, of the 40s and 60s plus generation. And if those of you who are watching who are of the 40s to 60s plus generation, this also applies to you if you were to flip it around when it comes to us millennials, for those of us who are younger. The reality is, you're never too old to learn. We both learn from each other. And we need to be careful about what we share with people. You may have someone in your life who is of the 40s to 60s plus generation who may actually be teaching you something that may not be in line with what Scripture teaches. So what are you to do about that? Well, you might want to consider being mentored by somebody else, someone who is more like-minded. I remember having a conversation a couple days back with my friend and brother Rod Phillips, who's pastor of Gateway Bible Church. His church, along with a few others, were recently added to GCAM Network. And we talked about how God was working in both of our lives. And when I asked him, hey, have you ever checked out this church in San Jose, East Valley Church? I have a friend and brother named Ron Johnson who's pastor there. I would love to get you connected with him at some point. He has such a strong emphasis on the gospel. And Rod told me, that'd be great. Yeah, I think that'd be cool. It'd be great to connect with people who are like-minded. And I'm like, that is something that I should talk about in this next program. So today, we're going to talk about why it's important to be careful about who you're being mentored by. And that this person who's mentoring you is a like-minded believer. So we'll start with a passage from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, ending at chapter 2, verse 22. If you have a Bible, turn your Bibles there. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 16. And if you have a smartphone, you can look on there too, or just listen, whatever works for you. Okay. So 2 Peter is in the New Testament. The Bible is split up into two segments, the Old Testament and the New Testament. 2 Peter is one of Peter's letters. There's 1 Peter and there's 2 Peter. And I firmly believe that he wrote this letter. So let's lift up our hearts for the reading of the Word of God. From the second letter of Peter, chapter 1, starting at verse 16, ending at the end of chapter 2. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven. For we were with him on the holy mountain, and we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who brought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to chains of gloomy darkness to be kept under the judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a herald of righteousness, with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, if by turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to ashes, he condemned them to extinction, making them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly. And if he rescued the righteous, Lot greatly distressed by the sensual conduct of the wicked, for as that righteous man lived among them day after day, he was tormenting his righteous soul over their lawless deeds that he saw and heard. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of judgment, and especially those who indulge in the lust of defiling passion and despise authority. Bold and willful, they do not tremble as they blaspheme the glorious ones. Whereas angels, though greater in might and power, do not pronounce a blasphemous judgment against them before the Lord. But these, like irrational animals, creatures of instinct, born to be caught and destroyed, blasphemed about the matters of which they are ignorant, will also be destroyed in their destruction, suffering worse as the wage of for their wrongdoing. They count it pleasure to reveal in the daytime. They are blots and blemishes, revealing in their deceptions, while they feast with you. They have eyes full of adultery and insatiable for sin. They entice unsteady souls. They have hearts trained in greed, accursed children, forsaking the right way, for they have gone astray. They have followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved gain from wrongdoing, but was rebuked for his own transgression. A speechless donkey spoke with human voice and restrained the prophet's madness. They are waterless springs and mists driven by a storm. For them, the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved. For speaking loud boasts of folly, they entice by sensual passions of the flesh those who are barely escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. For if, after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would have been better for them to never to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them. What the true proverb says has happened to them. The dog returns to its own vomit, and the sow, after washing herself, returns to the wallow in the mire. May God bless the reading of his word. We need to be careful about who we listen to. Because when you think about it, there are so many people out there who may have great intentions for us, but their intentions may cause more harm than good. And when you think about it, you want to make sure that what they're teaching you is sound. I can tell you from experience that when I had a leader in my in one of my previous small groups in my previous churches try to impose those teachings on me that were insufficient with what Scripture taught, it became evident that I needed to distance myself from that group. And was it easy? No, it was very, very difficult. Now, another thing to also keep in mind is this. I remember one time having a pastor tell me that I was unhealthy to lead a group. But the problem was he didn't know me well enough to make that kind of a conclusion. And lo and behold, rather than trusting his words, but trusting what God's calling was for me, and that was to plant a group, when I transferred my membership to Three Crosses, that's when people reached out to me and said, hey, we're looking for some small group leaders. And after presenting it to our home community's coordinator, we got the green light. You see, when someone even if a pastor tells you that you're unhealthy to lead group, the reality is, how does he know? He doesn't know, because ultimately who really knows is between you and the Lord. When I put my faith and trust in God, when I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone and submitted to his authority and listened to the teachings of like-minded believers, I can assure you, being obedient to his calling was more fruitful than following the instruction of a pastor who may not know what he's doing. Now, with that said, what are some red flags that you might encounter from anybody, regardless of age, that you should deem that you should see as false teaching and should not heed? Well, I can give you a list, but the four that GKM Network does not affirm come to mind. We have the seeker-sensitive movement. I don't believe in the seeker-sensitive movement because I don't believe that trying to make something sound good and tickle people's ears is going to help fulfill the mission and vision of the gospel, because what it actually does is you're basically doing exactly what the Lord does not command us to do, and that is to try to please people who have itching ears. Basically letting them hear what they want to hear. The reality is we need to hear what we may not want to hear, but it is hashtag solid truth and good for us. It's like a little kid not wanting to eat his vegetables. I am going to be candid. I didn't like eating my vegetables as a kid, but I had to learn the hard way that eating vegetables is good for me. It's no different with the Bible. Truth hurts. And you're going to be offended by truth whether you like it or not. But ultimately what matters is, what does the Bible say? Not what you want it to say, but what does it say? So that's the first area. That's red flag number one. Red flag number two. The whole prosperity gospel movement. You've heard of like those televangelists like Joel Osteen or Benny Hinn or even like Fred Price. I mean, or even Kenneth Copeland for that matter. You want to steer clear from people like that because they teach, if you just tithe to the church, if you just live a prosperous life, you're going to have a great time here on earth and in heaven. Where in Scripture does it say such stuff? Trick question. It doesn't. In this world, we will have trouble, but Christ has overcome the world. I mean, look at us right now. We're stuck in our homes. We're in the midst of a pandemic, COVID-19. This is clear evidence that we are living in a fallen world. Even if we tried to live a prosperous life, how is that going to help us advance our walk with the Lord? It's not. It only leads us to a destructive view of the gospel. Costi Hinn is a former proponent of the prosperity gospel, being that he is Benny Hinn's nephew. And he is now a pastor at Redeemer Bible Church in Church. And I would strongly encourage you to hear his story on how he left the prosperity gospel movement. The next area of concern is this whole idea of the whole new apostolic reformation. And you probably have heard of teachings from people from churches like Bethel or Hillsong or even Jesus Culture. You have to remember, they don't teach sound doctrine at their churches. Their songs are great, but their messages at church are very far from what the gospel teaches. It's very important that you really be careful about what church you go to. I remember my friend and brother who I mentioned to you earlier about, Rod Phillips, tell me about the importance of being a part of a healthy church. I can tell you from experience that I have been to several unhealthy churches, and I'd have to distance myself from them because it would be better for my spiritual nourishment. And I can tell you from experience, when my spiritual growth is stunting, I take that very seriously, and I need to take action. I need to let God work through me, and when He calls me to go, I am to go, whether anybody else likes it or not. And finally, and this is the recent one, the spiritual formation movement. Spiritual formation is not biblical because it actually brings people away from the truth. They use a lot of mysticism and contemplative prayers, and their teachings basically, it may sound like something that could help you grow in your walk with the Lord, but the reality is it's a works-based system, and instead of letting the Bible speak for itself and dwelling in your hearts richly, you're basically trying to get all these to be one or something like that. There is an article from Got Questions that better explains spiritual formation and why it is not a substitute for biblical sanctification. And I had talked about that in my program, A Fox in the Hen House. I would strongly encourage you to watch that program. But yeah, when you hear about teachers like Dallas Willard, John Ortberg, Richard Foster, or anything from the spiritual formation movement, you have to steer clear because they don't teach sound doctrine. They consider the book of Genesis as like full of myths, and that's not biblical. My group is my small group, Intercom Bible Fellowship, is studying the book of Genesis, and there's nothing mythical about it whatsoever. We take the Bible really seriously. Now, how can you tell if your mentor is giving you sound biblical doctrine? Well, he has to be quoting the scriptures itself, and he has to be relying on healthy Bible teachers as well, whether it be a local pastor who's teaching sound biblical doctrine or anyone on the radio. Like, for example, we have John MacArthur, R.C. Sproul, Chuck Swindoll, Tony Evans, Chip Ingram, J. Vernon McGee, Alistair Begg, you name it. Those are examples of healthy Bible teachers. Now, when you're being mentored by somebody, or you have to be careful about what they're saying. You want to make sure that you test the scriptures with anything. When you listen to your mentor, test what they say with the scriptures. If what they're saying is not in compliance with the dictates of scripture, you are not under any obligation to heed their advisement. But if what they're saying is in compliance with the dictates of scripture, then you need to heed their advisement. Now, the question, how do you know that what they're saying is something that you should take? Well, context is key. if they just quote one verse or a couple of verses, you want to make sure that you look at the entire context of that passage. Don't just solely rely on one verse. Why do you think seeker-sensitive churches are going a bad direction? Because they take different verses and try to compile them into a sermon to tickle people's ears. Well, you need to let the Bible speak for itself and dwell in your heart richly. Now, here's another thing to remember. If you are being mentored by somebody who is not teaching you sound doctrine, you have an obligation to correct them for that. I don't care how old they are. I don't care how long they've been at the church, and I don't care, you know, what role they were in, if they were on like a deacon board or an elder board or any form of service at their local church. There's no excuse for teaching false doctrine. And I would encourage you to address it to your leadership if that is the case. And if your leadership is unwilling to resolve this conflict, and if they justify your former mentor when it comes to his age, how long he's been at the church, or even what office he held at the church, run. Run for your life. No church has any business to justify anyone's position because of age or because of how long they've been at a church. They need to base it on what the scriptures say, and if they demonstrate true biblical, what a true man of God is, if they are not teaching sound doctrine and the church justifies it, you better run for your life, because your spiritual nourishment is important. So I want to make something very, very clear. A true, healthy, gospel-centered mentor never justifies himself based upon his age, his length of time at a church, or whether or not he has been on a board. He is justified by his relationship with Christ and is sound in his instruction. Let me repeat that again. A true, healthy, gospel-centered mentor never justifies himself based upon his age, his length of time at a church, or whether or not he's been on a board. He is justified by his relationship with Christ and is sound in his instruction. And while we are to respect our elders and obey our leaders and submit to their authority, Hebrews 13:17 doesn't apply to false teachers. And with that said, let me ask, if you have your Bibles, hold your place where you are at 2 Peter and turn to Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel is in the Old Testament. It's in between Lamentations and Daniel. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord, ah, the shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves. Should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So when they scattered because there was no shepherd, and so they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth, with none to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord, surely because my sheep have become a prey and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts since there was no shepherd, and behold, my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed for themselves and have not fed my sheep. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them." I'm going to stop there and make something clear. I speak from experience. I have been in groups where I have been spiritually malnourished. I've been in Sunday sermon discussion groups, and I've been in Bible studies that would ask questions like, what did you like? What did you dislike or disagree with? What do you think it says? How do you think this will apply to your life? Sunday sermon discussion formats are not sufficient enough for spiritual nourishment. A true healthy Bible study is able to fulfill that more. And any Bible study that uses what you think it says or what you think it applies or anything what you think, that's not focusing on the Word of God. That's focusing on yourself. A true healthy Bible study lets the Bible speak for itself and dwell in our hearts richly. That's what in Colossians, Paul says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. The mission and vision of the multi-church Bible study where I facilitate Intercom Bible Fellowship is this: let the Word of Christ let the Bible speak for itself and dwell in your hearts richly. And I want to point out something. Maybe you are one of those people who left one of those groups and you feel hurt and you have something against your leaders. Can I be honest with you guys? I've been there. And it's not a good feeling. You have all this baggage that's been really, really affecting you. And what I've learned is it's better to pray for them rather than hold on to grudges. Because it's not wise to get back at them, especially once you've left that congregation. Paul makes it clear in Romans chapter 12, verse 19, "Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord.'" So, just lift them up in prayer. I pray for the leaders who hurt me every week, every day, because I have found a lot of healing when I do that. I've even done that with people in my past during my second to the current year of Celebrate Recovery. And I don't regret that. I don't regret it at all. It's a huge blessing. And I think it's much better than holding on to a grudge. Now, I want to conclude with this. Who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? Are you listening to God? Or are you listening to man? You have to choose one or the other. You don't have the option of choosing both. You can only choose one. Is the person mentoring you approved by God or not? Choose one or the other. If he is approved by God, heed your mentor's advisement. If not, you have no obligation to adhere to any form of advisement that person gives you, regardless of age. Ultimately, who do you put your trust in? Why? And where do you find that truth? My prayer is that you place especially if you're watching this and you don't know who Jesus is, that you place your faith and trust in him and him alone. Why? Because he is holy. We're not. He wants to rescue us from eternal damnation. He wants to give us a new heart and a new spirit. He wants to give us eternal life. That truth isn't found anywhere else than here. God's word. Sola Scriptura. Let's pray. Father God, Adonai, we thank you that you are still with us. I thank you for the vulnerability that you've given me to really tackle this issue. Father, help us to be careful about who we listen to. I know there are a lot of people who are older than us who are wise and want what's best for us. But Father, we need to be careful about who we listen to, because ultimately you are the one who is perfect and you are the one who knows what's best. Father, would you give us discernment on what is sound from our elders and what is not sound? Give us the strength to speak up, stand firm for what we believe in. And Father, would you also bring mentors into our life that are sound in theology, are sound in your word, and demonstrate their love for you? Father, we ask for protection from anyone of the 40s to 60s plus generation, and even those who are around our age as well, who teach any type of heresy from seeker sensitivity, New Age Apostolic Reformation, the prosperity gospel, or even spiritual formation. I ask that you would just bring sound men and women into our lives who will mentor us. And Father, for anyone who's of the 40s to 60s plus generation who is being, who is hearing from the person that he or she is mentoring doctrine that is not sound, would you give them the opportunity to correct them? And Father, would you also use us to be an encouragement to them, because we learn from each other regardless of age. I thank you for this night, Lord, and I pray for anybody who's been hurt as well, that you would just give them hope and let you do what is best. Thank you, Lord. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. You can contact me at my website, chewmadenew.com, or you can call me at 510-516-CHEW. That's 510-516-2439. Or you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And do you know someone who's hurting and needs hope? Maybe you're listening and need hope. Well, regardless, check out my story from Celebrate Recovery on YouTube. If you were encouraged by it and learned something from it, please share it with others and use the hashtag Gospel-Centered Autism Awareness whenever you do so. You can find my story on YouTube as Celebrate Recovery Testimony Dave Chu, or you can go to chewmadenew.com and click on the link that says, "Click here to watch my testimony." Until next time, peace out and God bless. Cinco's!